Hello, knowledge seekers. In this episode of 20 Minute Books, we're exploring The Hard Thing About Hard Things by Ben Horowitz. In this compelling read, Horowitz, a renowned entrepreneur and venture capitalist, lays bare the often misunderstood and grueling role of a CEO. Drawing from his vast experiences, including his tenure as CEO of Opsware, a company he guided to a successful acquisition by Hewlett-Packard for $1.6 billion, Horowitz offers invaluable insights into the tough decisions and leadership challenges that define top-tier management roles. This book is not just for those at the helm of a company, but also for anyone aspiring to understand and navigate the complexities of running a successful business. Whether you're a present or future CEO, a founder, or someone involved in critical hiring and firing decisions, Horowitz's lessons, grounded in real-world experiences and enhanced by his widely read blog, speak directly to the dilemmas and pressures that come with leadership positions. The Hard Thing About Hard Things serves as a survival guide, mentoring readers through the intricate dance of building and sustaining a robust business, making it a must-read for leaders and managers at every level. The Hard Thing About Hard Things: Building a Business When There Are No Easy Answers. Introduction: Navigating the Lonely Peak, Mastering CEO Leadership Skills. Ascending to the position of a CEO presents a unique set of challenges. It's a journey marked by solitude and the heavy weight of decision-making. Unlike any other role, a CEO shoulders the entire company's destiny, making choices that could either spell spectacular success or usher in dramatic failure. Imagine having to sever ties with a longtime colleague or deciding the fate of hundreds by closing a facility. Such are the decisions that define a CEO's everyday life. At the heart of this narrative are the experiences of Ben Horowitz, who not only launched his own business, but also steered it to an impressive acquisition worth $1.6 billion. His trials and triumphs shed light on what it genuinely takes to lead a company. From learning the delicate art of terminating employees with dignity, to minimize resentment and preserve morale, to the counterintuitive approach of hiring candidates who aren't flawless, understanding that a mix of strengths and acknowledged weaknesses can enrich a team's dynamic. Moreover, you'll explore the rigors of transforming into what's known as a wartime CEO, a leader capable of navigating through turbulence and steering their company through the tempest of market adversities and internal crises. This journey is not just about the critical decisions made at the helm, but also about adapting to the profound responsibilities and isolation that come with the territory of being a CEO. Part 1: The Inescapable Journey of a CEO, Confronting the Struggle. Leading a company as its CEO is a dream laden with visions of innovation, exhilaration, and financial success. Those at the helm start with aspirations of transforming industries and making an impact. However, the reality is far less smooth, packed with inevitable crises and relentless challenges that test every leader's resolve and capabilities. No entrepreneurial journey is without its turbulence, be it from vast, uncontrollable macroeconomic disasters like financial downturns that shake investor confidence, or micro-level mishaps such as a poor hiring choice or the bankruptcy of a vital customer. These are the elements of what can be termed as the struggle, a phase where the idealistic dreams of a CEO crash against the hard rocks of real-world business challenges. The struggle is pervasive, and its reach extends beyond the professional realm, infiltrating a CEO's personal life, impacting mental health, physical well-being, and even social interactions. It is a test of endurance and strategy, demanding not just business acumen, but also a formidable mental resilience. Despite the hardships, the struggle is not just a phase of survival, but one of profound significance. It is during these trying times that a CEO's leadership qualities are honed. Here, amidst the toughest decisions and the heaviest burdens, is where true business leadership is forged. Each decision made not only shapes the path of the company, but also defines the legacy of the CEO, whether she will rise to acclaim for her triumphs or face the consequences of the company's downturns. Navigating this relentless challenge is what separates visionary leaders from the rest, making the struggle not just a phase to endure, but one to master for any CEO aiming for greatness. Part 2. Harnessing team power and creative solutions in the CEO's battle. The struggle, a constant companion for any CEO, might seem insurmountable at times, but engaging your team and embracing creativity can significantly lighten the load. While the weight of leadership decisions falls heavily on the CEO, key strategies can alleviate some of the pressure and pave the path forward during crisis periods. A crucial aspect is not to go at it alone. History provides us with powerful examples, such as the author's experience with his company Opsware during the dot-com crash. Faced with potentially devastating business conditions, he chose transparency and involvement over isolation. By gathering the entire company for an off-site meeting, he laid bare the stark realities they faced. Either overhaul the product drastically or shut down. This crucial meeting not only made clear the severity of the situation, but also filtered out those who weren't committed, leaving behind a team unified and resolutely focused on turning the company around. Their collective efforts eventually led to an impressive recovery, with the share price soaring from 35 cents to $7. When boxed in by challenges and seemingly nearing the end, another strategy is to seek unconventional solutions. Take, for instance, when the author's other venture, LoudCloud, was missing its $75 million revenue target by $2 million, a gap that made investors hesitate. Instead of following a traditional route, he took the audacious step of taking the company public to secure the necessary funding, showcasing the power of creative problem-solving under pressure. Finally, the inner battle a CEO faces, managing personal psychology amid professional storms, can be the toughest front. It's essential to adopt a race car driver's focus. Concentrate on the path forward, not the walls that might close in. Maintaining this focused mindset helps navigate through the struggle without becoming overwhelmed by the potential for failure. In essence, to overcome the struggle, a CEO must harness the collective strength of their team, engage in creative problem solving, and maintain a steadfast focus on solutions rather than obstacles. These strategies are not just survival tactics, but essential skills for any leader aiming to turn crises into opportunities for growth and innovation. Part 3. The power of transparency, tackling company challenges head-on. Delivering bad news is a task few enjoy, especially if you're a CEO whose decisions and actions directly influence the entire company. However, being forthright about the company's problems with your team is not just necessary. It's a strategic move that can steer your company toward solutions much faster. Why is openness so crucial? Primarily because bad news travels fast, and attempts to hide it can lead to even more detrimental outcomes. Keeping challenges under wraps only to have them surface unexpectedly later diminishes trust within your team and can demoralize employees who might feel they could have contributed to a solution earlier. Instead of shrouding issues in secrecy, a proactive approach involves sharing bad news at the earliest opportunity. This approach does more than just prevent rumors and misinformation. It unites your team's focus on finding solutions promptly. The quicker the entire organization is aware of a problem, the quicker it can mobilize to address it. Consider a scenario where a company faces upheavals due to a significant technological shift in the industry. If a CEO decides to shoulder the burden alone, trying to decode this new technology's implications without involving her team, the process would not only be slower, but could also exacerbate the crisis due to delays in response time. Conversely, by engaging her team early, the CEO can tap into a diverse pool of skills, engineers evaluating technical aspects, account managers assessing customer impacts, and finance teams calculating fiscal implications. This collective exploration can lead to more innovative and rapid solutions. Many CEOs hesitate to share bad news, often succumbed to what can be called the positivity delusion, the belief that employees need to be shielded from negative updates and maintained in a bubble of positivity. However, employees often are more resilient and practical than anticipated. They typically appreciate transparency and are keen to engage with challenges, particularly when they understand the collective stakes involved. Ultimately, honesty in the face of adversity not only fosters a culture of trust and cooperation, but also empowers the team. By swiftly sharing challenges, a CEO places trust in her team's capability to confront and resolve issues, thereby leveraging the collective intelligence and resourcefulness of the organization. Part 4. Handling layoffs with speed and fairness. No CEO relishes the thought of laying off employees. It's a tough, often heart-wrenching decision that comes with the territory of leadership. Nevertheless, if layoffs become necessary, the manner in which they are executed can significantly impact both the company's morale and its future. The first rule of thumb is to act swiftly. Once the difficult decision to lay off employees has been made, it's crucial to implement it without delay. Procrastination not only worsens the situation, but also allows rumors to flourish, creating an environment of anxiety and mistrust among the workforce. Employees will start questioning their job security and those of their colleagues, which can quickly erode the overall company culture. Moreover, it's imperative that these layoffs are conducted with fairness. Offering generous severance packages and positive references can ease the transition for those leaving and also maintain a sense of goodwill. This approach not only supports outgoing employees, but also sustains morale among the remaining staff and preserves the company's reputation, making it easier to attract new talent in the future. When communicating about layoffs, transparency and honesty are key. It's important for CEOs to acknowledge that layoffs are a result of the company's shortcomings, not the failure of individual employees. This honesty can reinforce trust within the remaining team and clarify that the layoffs are a necessary step in restructuring for a more stable future. In practice, if layoffs are necessitated by failure to meet business objectives, the messaging should not be about correcting underperformance, but rather sadly acknowledging that despite having an excellent team, the company's failure to achieve goals has led to this difficult decision. By handling layoffs quickly and with integrity, CEOs can navigate these painful decisions in a way that respects those affected and ultimately helps the company move forward on firmer footing. Part 5. Effective strategies for firing an executive. Firing an executive is among the most daunting challenges a CEO faces. Unlike other layoffs, the dismissal of a high-level executive carries profound implications, both financially and culturally, for the organization. So what's the best approach to undertake this difficult task? Firstly, it's crucial for the CEO to shoulder the responsibility of the hiring misstep. Acknowledging to the board that you, as the CEO, made a mistake in hiring, sets a tone of accountability. Conduct a thorough analysis to understand the root cause of why the wrong hiring decision was made, and present these findings to the board. This not only helps in avoiding similar mistakes in the future, but also strengthens the trust between you and the board members. Secondly, the preparation for the actual dismissal conversation must be meticulous. Plan the dialogue carefully, ensuring the language used is respectful and the message clear. The severance package should also be prepared in advance, with the understanding that the discussion isn't about performance, but about closure. As Bill Campbell, a renowned CEO, famously advised, respect is paramount. You cannot let him keep his job, but you absolutely can let him keep his respect. The manner in which an executive is dismissed can significantly impact the morale and performance of the remaining team. Handling the situation with dignity ensures that the rest of the executive team remains motivated and maintains their trust in leadership. A disrespectful dismissal, conversely, can instill fear and uncertainty among other executives, which could hamper their productivity and loyalty. Finally, it's vital to ensure business continuity. The departure of a key executive can create a gap in the company's operations. As CEO, you may need to step in temporarily to fill this void or quickly find an appropriate replacement to maintain stability and continuity. In summary, firing an executive demands a thoughtful approach that involves accepting responsibility, careful planning of the dismissal conversation, treating the departing executive with respect, and ensuring the continuity of business operations. By adhering to these principles, you can manage this difficult transition more effectively, maintaining the confidence and respect of both your team and board. Part 6. Building a strong foundation with effective HR and comprehensive training. Fostering a successful organization transcends beyond products and profits. It fundamentally relies on prioritizing your people. Recognizing the true value of your workforce is the first step towards building a robust company culture. First and foremost, developing a strong human resources (HR) department is essential. Think of HR as the quality assurance team for your organizational structure. While they might not build the organization single-handedly, they are crucial in identifying when and where your company's operational standards may be slipping. For instance, HR can uncover issues like non-competitive compensation packages before they impact employee satisfaction and retention, thus allowing for timely and necessary adjustments. Furthermore, investing in targeted training programs for your employees is fundamental. Every organization operates with its unique set of processes and tools. It's unrealistic to expect even the most skilled newcomers to adapt without adequate training. This training should be functional, designed to equip employees with the specific skills and knowledge they need to excel in their roles and meet their objectives. Additionally, it's equally important to focus on management training. This involves preparing your managers to effectively train their teams and provide constructive performance feedback. By empowering your managers, you also enhance the performance and satisfaction of the teams they lead. These strategies, strengthening your HR capabilities and committing to comprehensive training, are key to truly valuing and nurturing your staff. They not only address immediate operational needs, but also contribute to long-term employee engagement and success, laying the foundation for a thriving company culture. Part 7. Focusing on strengths in recruitment. Hiring the right talent is one of the most critical decisions for a company's success. The stakes are particularly high when it comes to selecting candidates who can significantly influence the company's trajectory. How then can you ensure that your hiring process brings in not just good, but great employees? The core principle in recruitment should be to focus on a candidate's strengths rather than their weaknesses. It's the unique strengths that a person brings to the table that will most likely propel your company forward. For instance, consider the example of Mark Cranney, who was a candidate to head a sales organization. Although Cranney was perceived as a poor cultural fit due to his somewhat unsettling presence around colleagues, his undeniable skills and strengths in driving sales were too valuable to overlook. Despite his shortcomings in softer skills, his proficiency in the essential functions of the role made him a worthy hire. This decision was made keeping in mind that such a talent, without his minor imperfections, would likely be employed elsewhere. Another crucial aspect to consider when hiring, especially for executive roles, is ensuring that the candidate's experience is proportional to the size of your company. The demands and expectations vary greatly between large and small companies. For example, executives in larger corporations often deal with a high volume of inbound work and need to manage and tweak ongoing projects. In contrast, in smaller companies, executives are expected to be more proactive in creating projects and driving the agenda. Hiring someone without considering these dynamics can lead to what's called a rhythm mismatch, where the executive's pace and expectations don't align with the company's operational tempo. Similarly, a skill set mismatch can occur if an executive from a smaller company struggles with the complexity and scale of a larger organization, or vice versa. To avoid such pitfalls, it's essential to meticulously evaluate not only the candidate's abilities and track record, but also how their specific experiences and working style align with the size and rhythm of your company. By prioritizing these factors in your hiring process, you can significantly enhance the effectiveness and harmony of your team. Part 8. Crafting a workplace free from politics. Creating an environment where employees are excited to come to work every day is a primary goal for any CEO or founder. Achieving this involves more than just offering good salaries and benefits. It requires actively fostering a culture that minimizes office politics and promotes fairness and transparency. Firstly, addressing corporate politics is crucial. Politics, often manifesting as manipulative behavior for personal gain, can poison a workplace. To combat this, prioritize hiring individuals who are dedicated to the success of the whole company rather than just their personal advancement. This focus helps ensure that employees are working toward shared goals rather than engaging in self-serving tactics. Implementing structured processes for evaluations, compensations, and promotions can also help curb office politics. By establishing clear, transparent methods for assessing performance and awarding raises or promotions, you remove much of the subjective decision-making that can lead to favoritism and unfair advantages. Secondly, defining a unique company culture can significantly enhance employee satisfaction. Take the example of Amazon, which used desks made from old doors to symbolize its commitment to cost-saving and practicality. Such symbolic actions can reinforce the company's values and differentiate it from competitors, making employees feel part of something special and purpose-driven. Moreover, clear communication regarding each employee's role and the value of their contributions is essential. This can be supported by a well-defined hierarchy of titles, ensuring that each level within the organization is understood in terms of responsibility and compensation. However, it's important to be wary of the law of crappy people, which suggests that the perceived value of a title can be diminished by its least competent holder. To avoid this, make sure that titles are awarded based on consistent, rigorous standards of performance, so they accurately reflect the value and skill each employee brings to their role. By focusing on these strategies, limiting politics, crafting a unique culture, and valuing clear communication and title integrity, you can build a company that not only attracts top talent, but also retains them by making them feel valued and part of a collective mission. This sets the stage for a healthy corporate environment where workers are motivated to contribute their best. Part 9. Essential Leadership: Setting Direction and Inspiring Action. Understanding the makings of a successful CEO is crucial, given the complex nature of the role. At its core, effective leadership boils down to two fundamental tasks: determining the right direction for the company and mobilizing the organization to follow through on this path. The first crucial function of a great CEO is to identify the correct strategic direction for the company. Take, for example, the situation faced by the author when his company, Opsware, experienced a drastic drop in stock price to 35 cents per share. Faced with the threat of being downgraded to penny stock status, he had to act swiftly and decisively. His ability to secure a crucial investment not only saved the company, but also demonstrated his resolve and capacity to steer the company through tumultuous times. This investor's trust was not merely in the company's potential, but in the author's vision and determination. The second function, equally important, is the ability of the CEO to articulate this direction clearly and inspire the entire company to execute the vision. This encompasses three elements: conveying the vision effectively, the authenticity and motivation in the leader's approach, and ensuring the organization's execution aligns with this vision. Reflect on the leadership styles of notable CEOs. Steve Jobs, for instance, was exemplary in articulating a compelling vision for Apple, even during times of near bankruptcy, drawing his team towards a shared, hopeful future. Bill Campbell, known for his leadership at several companies, was profoundly effective in making his employees feel valued and integral to the company's success, fostering a deep commitment to the organizational goals. Finally, consider Andy Grove of Intel, who led his company into the microprocessor era, a move fraught with high costs and immense risk. His clear, decisive vision and the ability to execute that vision effectively positioned Intel as a dominant player in the technology sector. These examples underline that being a successful CEO isn't just about setting a direction or crafting a vision. It's also about embodying that vision in a way that resonates authentically with employees and translates into actionable, results-oriented execution across the company. Part 10. Understanding the two archetypes of CEOs, visionaries and executors. In the realm of leadership, particularly among CEOs, there tends to emerge two distinct types of leaders: those who excel in crafting visions, ones, and those who excel in operational execution, twos. Each type brings unique strengths to a company, and understanding these can help in evaluating and refining leadership strategies. Ones are typically visionary leaders. They thrive on setting the direction and defining strategic paths for their organizations. Founding CEOs often fall into this category, with Bill Gates serving as a prime example. His role as a visionary shaped Microsoft's long-term goals and innovations. These leaders are passionate about strategizing, foreseeing market trends, and positioning their companies accordingly. However, they often find the day-to-day management, such as training staff, designing processes, and performance management, less invigorating. This can sometimes lead to a lack of structure and coherence in the organization, making it seem disorganized. Conversely, twos are leaders who are more inclined towards the execution side of company management. They excel in the nuts and bolts of the business, ensuring smooth operations, rigorous performance management, and precise implementation of company strategies. While they might shy away from making sweeping strategic decisions, their strength lies in managing and optimizing the existing setups, which can lead them to operate with hesitation during times requiring decisive change. The most effective CEOs, however, embody traits from both archetypes. These leaders are known as functional ones. They are visionaries within their domain of expertise, but adopt the practical focus of twos when looking at the broader company perspective. For instance, a head of sales might be visionary in devising sales strategies, a one, but relies on others for broader company decisions, focusing instead on the meticulous execution of the sales department's operations, a two. This analysis indicates that whether a leader identifies more as a one or a two, it's essential for them to develop skills outside their comfort zone. Becoming a functional one involves blending the foresight to set bold directions with the capability to lead robust execution, fostering a balanced leadership approach that adapts to various needs of the company. Recognizing and developing both sets of skills can transform good leaders into great ones, capable of steering their organizations towards sustained success. Part 11. Navigating peacetime versus wartime leadership in companies. Understanding the dynamics of different leadership styles is crucial in addressing varying circumstances within a company. Management literature often focuses on scenarios where businesses operate in a stable market, aiming to increase market share and enhance operations. However, not all companies operate under such circumstances. Some may be navigating much rougher waters. This distinction gives rise to two types of leadership: the peacetime CEO and the wartime CEO. During peacetime, a company enjoys a clear advantage over its competitors within a growing market. The role of a peacetime CEO, therefore, focuses on expanding this edge and scaling the company's success. An example of a peacetime maneuver is Google enhancing its cloud services by providing faster internet connections, thus fortifying its market dominance. Additionally, peacetime CEOs foster innovation by encouraging creative pursuits among their staff. Google's policy that allows employees to dedicate 20% of their work time to independent projects is a strategic move to stimulate creativity and potentially produce new successful products. Conversely, the landscape changes drastically during wartime. Companies may face severe threats such as economic downturns, aggressive competition, or significant technological shifts that threaten their survival. In such times, a wartime CEO is required. This leader must make swift, often harsh decisions that could determine the company's fate. An illustrative wartime scenario involved Andy Grove of Intel during the 1980s. Facing fierce competition from Japanese semiconductor manufacturers, Grove made the pivotal decision to shift the company's focus from memory products to microprocessors, a move that ultimately secured Intel's position as a tech industry leader. The distinction between a peacetime CEO and a wartime CEO underscores the adaptability required in leadership based on the company's external environment and internal challenges. While peacetime CEOs expand and innovate, wartime CEOs must often pivot and fight for the company's survival. Each type of leader is vital depending on the specific challenges and opportunities faced by the company. Part 12. Mastering the CEO role. Embrace discomfort and grow into greatness. Becoming a great CEO is not a predestined path, but a journey of growth and adaptation. For anyone stepping into this role, the initial phase can often feel uncomfortable, as it entails embracing new responsibilities and altering inherent behaviors. However, with time and conscious development, mastering the nuances of effective leadership is achievable. First and foremost, authenticity plays a critical role in a CEO's success. Staying true to one's personality while adapting to the demands of leadership can help in resonating more genuinely with employees. For instance, Ben Horowitz, known for integrating his blunt communication style into his management approach, advocated for openly using profanities, provided they did not intimidate or harass others. This policy, reflective of his personal style, helped in setting a transparent and open communication culture within his company. Next, the ability to provide constructive feedback is indispensable. A commonly used method is the shit sandwich, where critical feedback is cushioned between two positive comments. While this technique might be effective with junior staff, it could be perceived as disingenuous by more experienced executives, indicating that the method of feedback should be tailored to the audience for it to be impactful. Above all, great CEOs are characterized by their ability to become comfortable with uncomfortable tasks. Like a boxer learning new footwork, a CEO must acclimatize to activities that might feel unnatural at first, such as evaluating the performance of individuals in fields where the CEO has limited personal expertise. Developing comfort in these areas is crucial, as these tasks are integral to steering the company towards success. In essence, transforming into a successful CEO is about growing into the role by embodying authenticity, mastering effective communication, and learning to navigate and normalize the initially uncomfortable aspects of leadership. This journey, while challenging, is fundamental to leading a company effectively and empowering its workforce. Part 13. Navigating the complex. Decision to sell your company. Selling a company you've nurtured from the ground up is not just a financial decision, it's an emotional saga. For many entrepreneurs, their company is not just a business, but a part of their identity, making the decision to sell particularly challenging. Understanding the types of acquisitions can help in making this decision. In the tech industry, acquisitions typically fall into three categories. 1. Talent and technology acquisitions. These transactions, usually ranging between $5 and $50 million, are primarily aimed at acquiring specific skills or innovative technology from the target company. 2. Product acquisitions. In these deals valued between $25 and $250 million, the acquirer is interested in the company's existing products, which they plan to sell largely unchanged. 3. Business acquisitions. These are large-scale transactions where the acquirer takes over the entire company, often valuing the business in the billions. An example is the sale of Opsware to Hewlett-Packard for $1.65 billion in 2007. Each type of acquisition presents its own set of rational and emotional challenges. Emotionally, the attachment to the company can cloud your judgment, making it feel like a betrayal to your vision and your team. It's essential to maintain clear communication with all stakeholders about the company's goals from the beginning to mitigate feelings of betrayal. Furthermore, ensuring that you, as the CEO, are compensated competitively within your own company is crucial. This ensures that any decision to sell is less influenced by personal financial needs and more by the strategic benefits to the business. Rationally, the decision to sell should be based on a clear-headed assessment of the company's market position and potential. If your company has an early mover advantage in a significant market, a market you believe you can lead, it might be beneficial to hold off on selling. Selling in such a scenario might mean foregoing future growth and leadership potential. Ultimately, the decision to sell requires balancing emotional attachments with a rational evaluation of the company's future prospects and market conditions. Clear, open communication and financial prudence are vital in ensuring that if you do decide to sell, it's in the best interest of both yourself and the company. Final summary. Leading a company is an arduous and often solitary journey filled with challenges. This profound responsibility can weigh heavily on every aspect of a CEO's life, a reality known as the struggle. Despite its difficulties, the struggle is not just a burden, it is a crucible for developing remarkable leadership qualities and steering a company toward greatness. Embracing this, understanding its implications, and learning to navigate through it with resilience and foresight define the transformative journey of great leadership. Thank you for joining me today on this journey of learning and discovery as we explored the insights of another thought-provoking book in our growing library of knowledge. If you've enjoyed our time together, please take a moment to follow our podcast, give us a 5-star rating, and share 20-minute books with other knowledge seekers. Your support truly means a lot. Don't forget to join me again in the next episode, where we will delve into another enriching book. Until then, happy reading and happy listening.